Amanda and Baron, and we are back again from our break. And our second sponsor for this half is Marianne McNally. She is a residential real estate specialist with Next Home Realty Connection. She is currently going through her own battle, as some of you guys know. We've had her on several times to tell her story. So if you guys could please continue to keep her in your prayers. Last time we spoke to her, it was on the up and up, but still not out of the woods. So please, we would appreciate prayers for her. And in the meantime, if you are looking to buy a home, sell a home, or not sure where to start, getting your house on the market, or maybe purchasing your very first home, she is definitely your go-to girl. So you can give her a call at 503-409-4389. And again, that's Marianne McNally, who is a residential real estate specialist with Next Home Realty Connection.
And
you messed up on her last week, so I had to give her an extra shout out.
I forgot to tell her. I didn't just mess up. I completely forgot. So my apologies,
so
Marianne.
Yes, we love Marianne. She's absolutely amazing.
All those shiny cards got me totally distracted.
I get it.
Well, for those listeners that are just tuning in, we have a guest with us. This is Lisa Reynoso, and I got so excited about the cards I didn't get a chance to really tell. How do people in this community know you, Lisa? What do you do? How would they know you?
I am a mental health coach, and before that, I've been a seamstress for a number of years, so some people may remember me as the person that hemmed their pants.
Yeah.
But I have become a mental health coach, which is kind of where life coach and therapist overlap, so I don't diagnose people, but I can still help people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was a lot of what she's doing in the mental health coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great that you use that word, because counseling tends to lean towards a certification of some nature.
Yeah.
Whereas coaching is just coaching. It's just guiding,
yeah.
Right?
And I have had training.
Yeah.
And I have had, and I'm continuing to get more education.
What's your age? Do you do a certain age? Do you have a cutoff, a limit?
At this point, I work with adults, but I'm not opposed to working with kids. I just haven't yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was a lot of what she's doing with her new profession that led to a lot of this discussion.
Yeah.
And again, if people are just tuning in, we have a diagram that we're going to reference. So if you want to see a picture of that diagram, Amanda has one. Just email Amanda at... You're going
Amanda
to pause again.
At
Thank you
KSL.
So much. Twice in one show, you catch me with that.
I just blank stare at him.
It's like, why don't I remember my own email address?
I'm feeling feisty.
I think it's those spicy chili peppers from earlier in the show that still
yes.
got you going. But this is a really intriguing picture to look at.
It is.
And it's
worth it.
It really is worth looking at, because there's also three ways to look at it. We're going to get into that here in a second. But I am definitely not the expert on this, so I do want Lisa to give us a little idea of what this neuron model is.
All right. So, as I said before, think of a ball, and this ball has layers like an onion. The outer layer represents our physical being and the actions that we do. So, you know, our behaviors, basically.
Okay.
And how we look and that kind of thing. But that's just the surface. Go a little deeper and we've got the emotions. These are the things that drive us, that motivate us, because emotion has the word motion in it, right? It's our motivation, our energy.
Yeah.
And then you go deeper and you have our thoughts, the way that we think, our intellect, and as it, you know, a lot of people stop there. They say, you know, we're physical, mental, and spiritual, right? Or physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. And then we kind of forget there is a deeper layer. Underneath all of this is our identity. This is the core of this model. And our identity drives what we do and who we are, you know? I don't fix breakfast for my kids to become a mom. I fix it because I am a mom,
mm-hmm.
right? And so out of this, there are these like arms going out that have these layers as well. And these connect to other people who, if you could, you know, imagine how neurons connect to each other.
Yeah.
So we are designed to connect to other people. And there's horizontal arms going out to connect. And there's also the vertical representing God. Higher power, a higher purpose, whatever you happen to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be able to connect on all these different levels to really be fulfilled, because a neuron that doesn't connect, it dies.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I love about this diagram is, and again, I highly, highly encourage you to email Amanda to get a copy of this, because there's two ways to look at these lines. Now, the spiritual one, it also says that that's how you, that's our be, that's, you know, who you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the next one, the mental, is how you think. And the next one, the emotional, is how you feel. Mm-hmm. And the outer layer, the physical, is what you do.
Yes.
So it's the do, the feel, the think, and the be. And as these, in this model, as these spokes come out and connect, we really connect to people on the be level, you know? Mm-hmm. If I have a sense of identity at a spiritual level of whatever nature, I'm going to connect with you quicker and deeper than who someone who has a different identity.
Absolutely.
I just think it's an amazing model to look at.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, if you look over at the picture, you'll notice all of the fundamental questions of life: who, what, when, where, how, why. All of these have a place on the model. The where and the when refer to space and time, but who refers to our identity. Why refers to our intellect. We think, why do things happen, right? Mm-hmm. How, the emotion. And what is our physical. And so when we can relate to people on all these levels instead of just the surface, that's when things really get good. And that's where the connection is really solid. But to be able to do that, you need to have freedom and safety. This is an aspect that it's not shown in this model, but it's kind of, freedom and safety are kind of like the wires that connect us. Mm-hmm. And the value that we transmit to each other, because we don't get our identity in a vacuum. Remember I mentioned being a mother?
Yeah.
I didn't become a mother until I had children. Mm-hmm. So our identity is formed in relationship to other people, where we don't just come up with our own identity and say, well, I'm this. There's some connection. When I was giving a speech, I said it wouldn't make any sense to call myself a speaker if I didn't have an audience, right?
Yeah.
And so, because I can speak to the wall, but, you know.
Right, right.
And so our identity is shaped in connection with people.
Wow.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And it's so true. I as you're explaining it, I visually see it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually going through a 13-day train. It's 3 days, 4 days, and 6 days. So I've gone through the 3-day part of it. And then in March this month, I'll go through the 4-day, and next month I'll go through the 6-day. And, of course, in the 3-day, they're kind of laying the foundation for what is coming up. Mm-hmm. And in that very first and second day, and it wasn't until you were talking, Lisa, that I realized that what they were talking about in my training is exactly what you're talking about. Because what they're helping us do in this training is break down some of our own barriers that we put up in our own lives based upon things in the past that have happened to create our identity. Mm-hmm. You know, you were abused as a child, you were sexually assaulted, you were successful in business. Whatever happens in your life, that's the outer layer, creates your identity. But sometimes those negative things create an identity that you can actually break. You can get rid of the identity, mm-hmm. but you have to get past the layers to determine what the inner core is. Exactly. And that's what this whole course is like, how do you get to the inner core of who you are as a person? Yeah. Because you were sexually assaulted at 17 years old, that's not who you are. That's right. Just something that happened to you that created your identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have to get down to go, the reason I react all this stuff in my life is because of what happened to me mm-hmm. when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I do with clients is dig down and figure out what is under the behavior. Because the thing with how a lot of people tend to operate, they say, oh, I want to be this thing, so I'm going to do all this stuff. The problem is that God designed us to work from the inside out, mm-hmm. not the outside in. So if we want to have an identity, we claim it first, and then the behavior should come out of the identity. So instead of saying, for example, I'm going to be a person who's fit and strong, then I guess I'm going to have to go to the gym all the time. But then they don't change the identity, and they still think, oh, you know, it's a struggle, but I'm going to just do it, right? That's how New Year's resolutions usually start out. And then, as we all know, most, what are we, in March already?
We're in March.
There aren't very many people still keeping their resolutions because
gyms
they
make
didn't
most
change
their membership in January.
They mm-hmm. didn't change their identity around it. So if you start by changing your identity, and this comes from, like we said, like you said, core beliefs mm-hmm. is part of our identity. And when working with someone who can help sort those out can be really helpful. Because some people can do it alone.
That's what I do.
Some people can do it alone, but not very often. It's much better to work with someone because, like I said, we're social beings. We need that connection. And we there's a synergy when you work together.
Yeah. What's so intriguing about what you're talking about is I started kicking cancer in January of 2019. And during that very first month, I had gone to a Salem Chamber event that this lady named Lowry, who worked for KSLM, was at.
Yeah.
And I looked at Lowry. Now, again, this is the first month of Kicking Cancer. It's an idea that hadn't gone anywhere yet. But I looked at Lowry and I said, it would be really cool to do a radio show that we could inspire some hope and maybe share some tips about cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was planted in me in January of 19.
Yeah.
But I had no idea how to do anything with radio.
Mm-hmm.
So she introduced me in March of 19 to Terry Soule.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
And I came in as a guest with Terry. Again, no experience in radio, mm-hmm. just an idea. And over the course of the next couple of years, I was a guest for Terry several times. And 2 years ago, this month, we did the Polar Plunge.
Yeah.
And I met you 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there might be something here between Amanda and I. Maybe we could actually do a show with us. So I sat down with Jackie. And so the next layer. But the core was formed. And I just think what you just said. The idea was a radio show. And I knew that that identity could happen. But mm-hmm. I never lost the belief that it could.
Yeah.
And here we sit 98 shows later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
My nephew.
There's a real life example we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, my nephew, he struggles with school and just his identity and all of that. And so he made the decision to better himself and he chose to go to the Oregon Youth Challenge Program. And with that, they shave your head. They make you wear a uniform. They strip you down to where your identity is not your hair or your clothes style. It's inside. And so he's in the process of working on himself right now with physical training, he's got straight A's right now, which is huge because he's
which
a straight A.
Which is not what he was doing at Wolfville High School.
No, not at all. So he's working on his core and not the out. He's working from the inside out, like you said, instead of the outside in.
Yes.
So that's, it's very, you're speaking life, right? Good
words. Well, and again, I highly encourage listeners to email Amanda to see just a picture of this little model we're talking about because it is so true, you know, when you look at that who you be, that the being part of you is the core of it and everything else just layers on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important, Lisa, that we give credit to the person who actually developed this because he lives here in town, right?
Yes, he does, down in South Salem.
Oh.
So his name
is... And we actually want to get him on the show, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We've been working on that. His name is Dr. Mark Brayman, and he has a lifestyle clinic over in West Salem. I think he also has one in Eugene. So he has two offices that he splits his time between.
And now think about this phrase, lifestyle medicine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
He's a member of the Lifestyle Medicine Foundation.
Okay.
Lifestyle Medicine Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We need this guy on the show.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. But yes, he developed this because he was trying to understand reality and how it works and have a simple way of explaining it and to create a paradigm. So let me give an example of how this can be used in a paradigm. Think of a community. Whenever you go into a new place, the first thing you do is you look around and you try to see what is the norm here. How do I fit in, right? And so, but it's all based on external. You know, maybe everyone sits with their legs crossed, or maybe everyone takes their coat off when they come in. I mean, just there's certain things that you'd start to notice somebody, if they do different, they stand out, right? But this is all surface stuff. The problem is, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but when you've got a group of people that build a community around these external things, and I'm a Christian, but I'm going to use church as an example. Not all churches are this way, but there are churches, and I've been in some of them, where external values are exalted and the internal ones are kind of ignored.
Mm-hmm.
So how you dress, what you eat, the music you listen to, often these things become the thing around which everyone bonds. But these are all external. They're part of the outer layer of this neuron model.
Yeah.
And so, or maybe they connect over the intellectual. A lot of churches will have, they'll have a certain set of beliefs, right? And then they defend these beliefs and they get really good at defending them, but they're forgetting about the other layers. They're forgetting about, like, people are emotional too, not just intellectual. And people, and they forget to look at people for who they are as opposed to just how they look. You know, a person, I know if you've seen this picture of a group of people sitting on a bench, and one of them is this huge biker dude with tattoos and, you know, the leather jacket and the whole thing, and he's sitting there reading his Bible, and the thought bubble above him says, I just love God so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the people around him, their thought bubbles are, what is he doing here? He doesn't belong here. He's so out of place. Because they only see the external.
Right.
But they don't, God looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal should be, whether we're Christian or not, to look past the external and see people for who they are. And if Amen. we're Christian, God loves us, and God is the one who ultimately informs our identity. Think about this. When our identity is shaped, remember I said earlier, in connection with other people, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the people who know us the best that can really speak into who we are. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And what he says, you know, who he says we are, he says we're his children.
Mm-hmm.
We're the children of the King of the universe. That is an amazing identity. And when we can grasp onto that, all the rest of it just really doesn't matter.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm looking at this model. And again, you can look at this thing from like three different angles or three different ways of looking at this model. So I'm looking at this model with what you just said, and the blue layer is the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you've got to email them out to get this model. But the blue layer is the what. Mm-hmm. So in your biker example, the what is a guy with a bunch of tattoos and a jacket. But then the next layer is the how. And the how is being looked at as how he lives his life. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's based upon judgments.
Yeah.
Because my judgment of him is he has tattoos, he has a biker, that must be his life. The closer layer is the why, like why would he be a biker? Mm-hmm. But the middle, which is the core, is the who.
Mm-hmm.
And the who is the guy that's sitting there on that bench reading the Bible and with the thought bubble that says, I love God so much. That's the who. That's yeah. who he is.
Right.
The others are just exterior images of what we think he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, I'm going to go home and like break this down to my children because like, truly, I think when it's broken down like this, this is a great model picture. I highly recommend you guys email me for this, please, Amanda@KSLM.news. But
and
I think
again,
that's great
that,
to break down. Not just me, I'm getting so much out of just this little segment, but to then go home and break it down to my children so that they have a different view also.
Well, yeah. And I think it's easy for, we all do it. It's just kind of human nature I go downtown and I look at some guy that's homeless and I'm making judgments based upon the exterior layers. And I don't know the interior layers and that you have to connect. Now, the challenge is we have to find something to connect on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we can finally connect, if these people in this picture that Lisa talked about with this park bench, if they would get past themselves and ask this guy a few questions, like, holy cow, this guy knows God, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't. They get stuck on the exterior. This is such a great example.
It is. It really is.
So we really want to dive deeper into this. And again, we really are hoping that in the next few weeks we can get Dr. Mark to come in here.
That would be cool.
Really talk about this.
Mm-hmm. But that would be awesome.
Right. He is starting a group at our church. So I go to the East Salem Seventh-day Adventist Church. Remember the Seventh-day Adventist Blue Zone thing?
Yep.
So East Salem Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Fruitland Road. It's on the other side of Cordon. If you go out center, it turns into Fruitland past Cordon. And every two or three weeks, we get together as a group. We're called Tribe Thrive. And so what we're trying to do is recreate this Blue Zone idea, Blue Zone community.
Yeah.
So we're getting together, we have a meal, and we've met a few times, but we're kind of been more in the planning stages. But we've got some exciting things kind of planned, like, you know, maybe cooking classes.
Yeah.
As the weather gets better, we're going to go out and exercise together, go for walks and things like this. So
that's awesome.
And what I love what they're doing is
community. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the other four Blue Zones are kind of geographically formed. The one in Loma Linda is philosophically formed.
Yeah.
And which
if
is huge.
If it is. And if they could do it in Loma Linda, why couldn't you do it in Salem,
amen.
Right?
Exactly.
And so they're creating this Tribe
that's
Thrive
awesome.
To create one.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Well, I do want to share a story, but I don't want to interrupt. Did you get all your thoughts in here, Lisa?
I think I'm good. I think we're good.
Any questions, Amanda?
It's just, no.
We often tell you to email Amanda, but this model, if you email her, she'll email back to you, will really explain it. We're trying to verbally explain it, but to see it in picture form just helps a lot.
And I think what's really cool about it is every single person can apply it to themselves or somebody in their lives, whether it helps them better form themselves and be who they want to be or help somebody else.
Yeah.
So very beneficial. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, more than once I have told you as we go through the timeline that there's always a reason for the stories.
Yes.
This was a story I was going to share last week, but my rhythm got totally thrown off.
We know.
The show.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you weren't there, so I was really thrown off. But I think it was a case of God saying, no, I want you to tell this story this week.
Just wait a little bit.
This is a gal that I actually met through the BNI, the networking group that I'm part of, which Lisa's part of as well. But she lives in Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
So it was a referral.
Mm-hmm.
She is a 12-year, well, actually now she's 15 years. It's a little outdated. But she's a 15-year survivor of stage 3 triple negative invasive ductal carcinoma.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness. That's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful.
That was a tough one to overcome.
And she had gone in treatment in December 2007. I won't go into all the details of her treatment. It was pretty extensive. But she said, soon after my treatment, I was asked to mentor newly diagnosed breast cancer patients by my breast surgeon.
Oh.
Which is why I find it intriguing. God wanted me to wait, because she was asked to begin creating the community that Lisa's talking about.
Yeah. Which is so important.
And then,
did she?
Yeah.
Yes.
She has actually formed a nonprofit down in California. She's the executive director and founder of Cancer Kinship.
Okay.
How's that for a great name?
I love
Cancer
that.
Cancer Kinship. And when you see, I think it's so funny because she's got a C and a K.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ours is a K and a C. Cancer, she's got a C and a K.
Yes,
Cancer
it is.
Kinship.
That's funny.
When I first thought, like, you got it backwards, and then I realized, oh, no. but her story is just so in-depth because at 7 years old, she said, the first time I heard the cancer, I was 7 years old. I don't recall a time during my childhood I didn't hear the word cancer.
Wow.
Her mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, fought valiantly, passed away at age 42.
Oh.
Her mom. Then she goes through her own battle with cancer. She says, since my mom passed away in 1986, and even since my own diagnosis in 2007, there have been significant advances in cancer treatment and surgeries, and the number of cancer-related deaths are lower than ever before. Nevertheless, my family was impacted once again when my youngest sister was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer that spread to breast, bones, lung, and brain.
Wow.
And then her sister died when she was 7 years into her own cancer journey.
Oh, my goodness.
And that she says, after her sister died, I experienced survivor guilt.
Absolutely. How could you not?
My mom died. My sister died.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. How did I not? Yeah, I could see that.
And she says, a profound sadness that prompted a deeper examination of my own beliefs, that core part.
Yes.
And reason for my survival. And that led her to create this group, Cancer Kinship, which is a massive support group in the Los Angeles area.
Oh, what a happy ending.
I know.
Happy. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. But it was a reason God wanted me to wait a week to tell that story.
It fit
because of the foundation that Lisa laid out for us.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm going to give are you all done?
I'm done.
Okay. I'm going to give a huge shout out to Marianne McNally, who is our sponsor for this second half. She is absolutely amazing. She is a real, she is a residential real estate specialist with Next Home Realty Connection. So if you're looking to buy a home, sell a home, not sure where to start or what that even looks like, maybe it's in a few years, but you just want to make sure you've got all your ducks in a row, give her a call at 503-409-4389. And remember to please continue to pray for her as she is going through her own battle. So again, thank you, Marianne. We appreciate you. And we'll be back next week
as the movement continues.